iFaith 59. Well, I'm in my office where I've taught before in Scotland, but we still don't have our household goods from the United States. But they'll be here in 3 days. But for a little bit longer, I'm going to have to be in this furnitureless, echoing, cavernous study. And that's where I'll be speaking now and giving a message with a simple title, The Burden That Is Not a Burden. We're in the letters of John. As we look at the gospel, the letters, and then Revelation, all of John's writings. And last time we looked at chapters 1 and 2, the concept of walking as Jesus walked. And we saw that that means walking in the light. Now for us, walking in the light entails forgiveness of sins. As we walk in the light, there's a continual forgiveness. Now Jesus didn't need forgiveness. But for us, we walk in the light when we intend to walk as Jesus did. We looked at four examples. Having the word living in us the way Jesus did, being authentic, being real, being kind and being loving, W-A-L-K, that was the acronym. Don't do that very often, but I think it's important because too many people feel that if they sin, then all of a sudden they're in the dark, they're separated from God, and then they're trying to come back in the light by doing good things. And that is simply not what Jesus taught. It's not what 1 John teaches. And if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and look at the beginning of this letter again. Now, of course, there are many other themes in the letter of 1 John, like prayer, obedience, not loving the world, Jesus coming in the flesh. We'll get into that more in the next talk. But today we're going to shift our focus to the end of the book, and our passage is 1 John 5, 3 to 5. This is love for God, to keep his commands. His commands are not burdensome. If everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, namely our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, when you look at that whole passage, we see that we have to keep his commands, and we need to believe Jesus is the Son of God. Some readers grab onto, okay, I believe he's the Son of God, and they call this faith alone, and they think they're going to be okay just because they mentally agree. And others oppress themselves and others, and they just focus on the rules. They focus on the commands. Well, the truth is, without obedience, we don't love God. We don't love God. Jesus said that. If you love me, you obey me. 1 John 14. Obedience is a New Testament concept and an Old Testament concept. No one in the Old Testament was saved without grace. No one in the New Testament is saved without obedience. They go together. We go together. Our obedience will not be perfect, but we need to be obedient. Grace is available. Why does John say the commands aren't burdensome? Was this his experience as a younger Christian or in his time with the Lord? Well, I think this reflects Jesus' teaching, which we'll come to in a moment. But they're not burdensome for a couple of reasons. First, because we're born again, he says. We have a new orientation, a new way of looking at things. And sometimes you just have a different orientation. It's like the difference between a cloudy day and a sunny day. It's the same trees. It's the same land, but it just feels very different. We have a different orientation, and we overcome the world. Our faith overcomes the world. Now, faith enables us to make decisions that show the emptiness of the world and show us how to walk wisely and interact with others. It's not just any faith, but it's faith that Jesus is who he said he was. It's a faith that honors him as he is. These commands are not burdensome for another reason. That is the character of Christ. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's at the end of Matthew 11. He doesn't say there is no yoke, there is no burden. There's a yoke, we need to submit and get in step, and there is a burden we need to carry, but it's light. I think that's just a different way of saying what John said. It's not a matter of performance or rule-keeping. As Paul noted in Galatians 5, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. If we are people who influence others, maybe you lead a small group, for example, let's not be burdensome ourselves. Let's not be harsh like Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Remember what happened? Solomon was wise in a way, although the older he got, the farther he drifted from God. And he actually was quite harsh. Now, Rehoboam listened to the advice of his peers, who were all very young men. He discounted the excellent wisdom of the elders. Rehoboam said, "And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke." He's saying, "You ain't seen nothing yet. We're just beginning." And of course, that's 1 Kings 12:11. The people react against that. Of course they would. Well, how can you blame them? But what happens is the kingdom splits. And now we've got the northern kingdom of Israel, which goes with another guy, Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom goes with Rehoboam. And that's a permanent rift. Wow. Because he wouldn't listen. Let's not be like the Pharisees. Jesus commented in Matthew 23, "They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help." Matthew 23:4. It's not that the Pharisees were wrong to expect obedience. It's that they failed sometimes to distinguish between God's commands and their commands. What God said we should do, and then all the supplemental rules, written or unwritten, the Pharisees had. And if you broke those rules, they were really upset with you. But no one could keep this. No. Now, I don't mean in these comments to be suggesting that obedience is optional or sin all you want as long as you, you know, confess eventually or come back. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not saying either that in the name of spontaneity or nature, you know, being spontaneous, being natural, we should just do as we please. Because if we do that, we're at great risk of, well, falling for the deception of the evil one. You know, a relationship with God is a relationship, and one common analogy is that of marriage. So I look out the window of my study, and I think of all the neighbors I've met in the last few weeks. Most are married. Most are younger. Well, I've not met anyone even close to my age, but most of them, I would say, are in the late 20s to around 40, kind of our own children's age. Many have not been married that long. Things are getting tough now as kids come along. Or if they have one kid, now they've got a new baby, like our next door neighbor. It takes time. It takes years, if not decades, to build the fiber, the fabric of the marriage, to be tested, to be fully invested with one another. And that kind of peace, that kind of sense that, yes, marriage has ups and downs. It can be hard, but it's not burdensome. And I'm a more joyful person because of it. That is possible, but it takes time. It takes time. That relationship with God is that way. But it's a great joy when we are invested. Let me read the passage one more time before wrapping up. John says, "This is love for God, to keep his commands." His commands are not burdensome. "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, namely our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes, that is, only the one who has faith in Jesus as the Son of God." We can do it. Living as a Christian is not impossibly difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult, but the burdens don't have to be burdensome. The responsibilities don't have to press us down. Instead of enervating us, they can energize us. Instead of being unpleasant, it can be deeply pleasant. It's difficult to resist temptation, sinful patterns, and the unhealthy and unrelenting pressures of the world. But faith is the victory. How do we do that? Well, we work on our devotional life. But it's not just what we do in private. We live publicly as Christians. We bond with fellow disciples, and we keep pushing ourselves out of the comfort zone. It doesn't matter how old you are in Christ or in years. These are things that will keep our faith fresh. Then the burden isn't a burden. And that's what I meant when I was titling this, "The Burden Is Not a Burden." If you want more on this, I would like you to read 1 John 5. All the chapters of this letter are short. We focused on verse 3. Take a look at verse 13. I would also suggest going back to John's Gospel, in reading chapter 14. And to see that this teaching, this kind of attitude towards obedience is not just in the New Testament. Check out the Old Testament. Read Deuteronomy 30. Read all of Deuteronomy, but at least read Deuteronomy 30 starting in verse 11, and you'll see a perfect parallel in the words of Moses and the words of John. Some great advice for you and me both. Well, next time, we've got a lesson from 2 John, and that's entitled, Watch Out for the Antichrist. I'll look for you then.